I do have this note. Killed by a Rothe. How embarrassing.
Sean, you can yell at me on the floor now. He does stick his head out, by the way. I never know what he's like, hey. And I'm like, normally I come to him for break time. So I'm like, what? And he's like, I told you. And I'm like, right.
So they're all landed on the plant. Mm-hmm. And my next note is Sailor Moon is saved and friends used as a shield. So this must be the point when
Faramir shows up.
Fiona.
She shows up.
Oh, you're doing this on purpose.
Yes,
okay.
I am.
Okay, great.
So Ferrari shows up and he decides to explain the entire plan. He's like, you see these things? And these three little spores show up. And he's all like, these are the seeds of my flowers.
Look, he's only really had like one person to talk to, and that person's been manipulating him. So he's got to talk because
we've all been there.
We've all been there explaining our evil plans.
Having only been isolated with one toxic person for too long.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You've been there. I've been there. Jen, sorry for being that to you. So he's all like, my spores will go to Earth and they will create all of these flowers and slowly suck the energy out of the planet, causing it to explode. And they're like, not cool, dude. And he's like, totally cool, dude.
Cha.
He doesn't actually.
No, he doesn't. But then he like, what is he? Is this where he goes ahead and has the flower avalanche on top of him?
Well, that's when he comes out of the ground, flower avalanche off of him.
Yeah. And they pull Sailor Moon out of the way. But they
No. So he revs up in the flower outfit. The flower falls away.
Oh, right, right, right.
He explains the plan to them. And then I think Sailor Venus, she's like, what's that? And then it is, and then it's Sailor Mercury who pulls up her laptop, puts on her glasses, and
She pulls up her goggles and she's doing stuff on her computer and she realizes that they're all getting surrounded.
Yeah,
by all
she's like, negativity's all around us. I'm like, he just told you all the flowers are evil.
Yeah.
So the display in the Mercury goggle that she's looking through was in German in the movie as opposed to English in the television series.
So out of the ground pops one, two, three, and then countless. Now, these ones are attached to the ground, unlike our spider lady. And they all have bras on. And my notes go, minions must wear bras. Only the head lady gets to have no bra.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. So that's when they all do. Every one of the Sailor Scouts does an attack and it's always super effective. Sailor Moon pulls out her wand and she like cuts down a quarter of them with just one thing.
They all do. But here's my query. Do you think the aquatic attacks would be helpful? Because isn't that just watering the plants?
I mean, have you ever overwatered a plant?
Yes, but it takes weeks.
Okay, but have you ever seen a tree in a mudslide?
Okay.
Or in a flood?
That makes sense. I think it's interesting that right now they're all doing attacks all at once because they're surrounded.
But they're not aiming it, like focusing in it. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many attacks they do because these plants always regenerate. Poop, 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 mm-hmm. poop. And that's when they regroup mm-hmm. and they become this like big ominous wave thing.
The plants do, not the sailors.
And then they go in to like overthrow all of them and Sailor Moon gets yeeted away.
Well, yeah, because I think it's Venus pushes her. Mm-hmm. But just before that, all the plants monsters sound like deadites. Yeah.
They do kind of have this Pokemon feel, even in the show. Like there's one. So you know how sometimes you'll say Marzipan?
Yeah. Marzipan.
Yeah. So there is actually a Sailor Moon villain of the day that is like based off of Marzipan. And the only thing she says is Marzipan.
Delicious. I bought a piece of Marzipan yesterday for me. Okay, so she's thrown away And then they get enveloped in this wall of flowers. And all of the baddies congregate to the top with Ferroni. And she falls to the ground and starts digging at the flowers with her hands.
Because she wants to get to her friends. It totally makes sense.
With her hands. She has magic power.
She doesn't have a shovel. Like, what is her scepter going to do? Her scepter doesn't dig up dirt.
So she
would have to get Leota involved on that. And then Leota would have found him.
She raises her wand, right? And he's all like, not so fast, or something equivalent. And the girls get raised up out of the ground on a vine. And they're like, yeah. He's like, give me your scepter and your friends can go free, right? And she's all like, they're like, no, don't do it, Serena. Only you can save the world.
That sounds, have you ever seen Charlie the Unicorn?
I know, Charlie. He's trying to kill us with flowers. That's
what your impression sounds like.
Beautiful flowers, Serena. No, don't save us.
It's almost like you didn't like this movie or something.
I did like this movie.
You just make fun
of
it because of me.
This part is stupid because it is my old thing where he's like, give up. And they're like, don't do it. And she goes, okay. She's like, I can't have you be hurt. They're already being sucked.
And if you wanted to go ahead and say that Sailor Moon is wimpy because of the fact that she's not willing to sacrifice her friends for the greater good,
Because you're such a big fan of not murder.
But it's also like, these are her friends. They are in front of her. And like at the end of season one, and justice is not done to the very end of season one in the English. Now it is, but back in the 90s, it wasn't. She actually is going towards her goal of trying to defeat the big bad of season one and save Darien, kind of like what we're seeing right now. She actually, you see like one by one, the Sailor Scouts are getting like taken out by like sub baddies. Mm-hmm. And so she has like these moments where she's like an entire episode is dedicated to her friends literally dying in front of her. And she still has to push herself forward.
That's so crazy
So when I see this movie and she says, I can't do this because I don't want you to get hurt. Like I think back to the end of season one and she has her memories. She knows that that's what happened. And like it took reincarnation just to get everybody back. So it like for me throughout the context of the entire show, this part makes sense. If you're watching this on the very first time and you're like, no, there's so much more else to do. You need to have more responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Then I would say trust in the Force.
Well, my notes then go, he's almost defeated by surrender. What's this feeling?
Oh, my.
What's the love? What's this feeling?
My note is new feelings brewing inside Duffman. What would Jesus do?
Excellent. Excellently done. Okay, so they're all released. He falls to the ground. And then there's the they were all so lonely without her sequence.
Yeah.
So we cut to each person being like, nobody liked me because I was too smart and I read books, and no one liked me because I played with like crows and I worked in the thing, and no one liked me because I was okay murderous bully, and no one liked me.
She wasn't murderous, okay? She punched someone out probably for good reason.
And I was too pretty.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, Venus is the best.
Venus, like here's something that really comes out is the idea that.
I swore.
Okay, so the whole idea about Venus is like not that she's super pretty. They see her as being like stuck up. And in fairness, Venus is like an idol in Japan.
Yeah,
that's like her thing.
And she probably should have a British accent, but she doesn't.
Right, because she was like the manga took place in London.
Yeah.
So, but she like they think that she's too stuck up to want to hang out with them.
Yeah.
And like you kind of get the feeling like whenever people don't like the Sailor Scouts before they meet Serena, they have like people just are like, oh, you're different. And so you probably think you're better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Oh, you're too smart. You probably think you're better than me. Oh, you work at a temple and you probably think you're better than me. Oh, you're super strong and you probably think you're better than me. Oh, you're super pretty and you probably think you're better than me. It's like people are like automatically defensive with them.
Yeah, maybe it's because maybe it's a feature, not a bug. Maybe it's to keep them safe and alone until they join forces.
It could. Could be.
And that's brought together by Serena.
But there's a part of me that thinks it's just in-group, out-group mentality. It's really easy to feel like you're ostracized from people.
I truly did that to myself. Yeah. I still do that to myself.
Compassion!
Okay, so his outfit bursts apart. He has a moment. The boutonniere doubles down. And now we have what I call fleshticles and roses.
Fleshticles and roses. Is it because he got a costume change?
Yeah, but they're all flesh covered tentacles.
Yeah,
because her hand is her hand.
Oh yeah. I know
where his boutonniere would be.
She's just groping him in every place.
It's so
creepy.
Gross.
Yeah. It also kind of shows like it's like this physical representation of how Cassinian has kind of manipulated him. That's the way it always felt to me. Like she has every aspect. She's got her hands in almost every aspect on him.
Literally and figuratively.
Right.
Friendship that kills an entire flower planet.
Yeah. And then Tuxedo Mask is breaking through the glass and he saves himself.
Yeah. I guess they're standing around and I go, oh no, he's not dead. And then he goes, this planet is rigged to fall to Earth and inside of it is a nuclear charge. That will destroy the entire planet.
That must have been in the Japanese version because that was not in the English version.
Oh, yeah. Well, he says that it's a bomb, but like, yeah, it was nuclear in one of the versions, which I thought was interesting. He does go to grab Serena by her chest compact.
So the scouts are let go and then Sailor Moon is captured by Fiore. That was after the costume change. And he like is grabbing her and he's saying things like, that's when he's like saying things like, you don't know what it's like to be alone. And that's when we get the sad flashbacks from the scouts.
He's wrapped his fleshicles around her.
Yeah,
and is like, reach for the sky. My plants are feeding from your energy. They're so happy. You don't know anything about what it's like to be alone.
Yeah.
And that cuts to Mercury.
Yeah, and that's when she is hearing all of the people saying she's too smart. She must think she's better than us.
Yes, and then it cut, and then he goes, and you don't know what it feels like to be separate from others, and you don't know what it feels like to blah, 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 and we cut all of them down in succession.
But he does have this costume change, and when I was thinking of the wrapping of fleshicles, I was thinking that it was Cassinian on him, but I could be remembering that.
No, it is. It is her. It is her, but it's her fleshy bits.
Right. But then he does that to Sailor Moon, and he's like, take all of this energy, go hands up if you want, and you see these like tiny little hands up, and then lights going from them. Sailor Moon's like, ah!
Beam up from her and then down into them.
It's really kind of a nice like scene.
Visually, like, it's stunning.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, you don't know anything about anything, and
he sucks her dry. We see those scenes. Mm-hmm. He throws her to the ground, and then he's like, and she goes all dead eyed, but she's panting a little bit.
Right.
And he goes to stab her to death with his fleshicles, which apparently can get pointy.
Yeah, and then he gets stopped by a rose
straight to the heart.
Straight to the heart.
You'd think Tuxedo Mask could hit the boutonniere, but did it have that hand over it? So like he couldn't have got it. But if it can, if a rose can breach a rib cage and strike the heart of an alien life form, how did he know where his heart was? Doesn't matter. Like why did he not go for the thing that he knew was controlling him and save the day that way?
Is it kind of like with Thor not hitting Thanos in the head in Infinity War? I don't know, but I do have this rose. I do have this note. Killed by a rose. How embarrassing!
Chen, you absolute ham. Okay,
that's great.
Okay, so she stands up. No, wait. What happens now?
So Fiore's like, oh no, my friend just totally hates me. And Cassinian's like, you just have to kill him. And then we're going to take over. And he's not that important, but it's like his whole motivation is Darien. And then he kind of like sinks into the planet and all the spores like dissolve into nothing.
Oh, that's that part.
Yeah. And that's when you hear a voiceover is him saying that it's the heart of this planet is actually a bomb and we're going to run into Earth and we're not going to be able to take its energy, but we're going to go ahead and destroy it because if we can't have your energy, nobody can.
Yeah.
or something to that effect. And then Sailor Moon like jumps out of it.
Because she only died a little bit.
Only a little. She was passed out. She was knocked out.
And she's like, you don't have to do this.
And so she takes her...
She goes, her motion to like focus the power of her amulet is very much like grabbing her boobs.
And then squeezing them together.
Yes. And he's all like, not so fast. And he grabs this teenage girl by her compact chest thing, but it straight up looks like booby grabbing.
Yeah, it does. And then she like is like, okay, we're going to have a conversation. I'm going to tell you the first time that I met Darian.
Okay, so she takes her hands and holds his wrist.
Yeah.
And he realizes that she's not fighting back. She's going to engage with him, which is hallmark of her character.
Right. And so the flashback is Darian crying on his bed because his parents have died. And
he's not dying because his parents died.
He's crying because his friend's leaving.
Yes.
Thank you, Naomi.
Yeah.
And so like baby Serena comes up and she's got this big old bushel of roses and she's just like, she lays her head.
Why are you crying?
She lays her head on his knee, on his baby, in his little kidney, which is adorable.
And it looks just like.
When it parallels when she did it earlier.
Oh yeah, by the way, this is his orphan room and it's the exact same size and shape as his apartment.
I think this is them in the hospital because Serena says, my mom just had a baby and I got these flowers for her, but you can have one. And she gives him the rose.
In the anime, in the Japanese version, she goes, congratulations! Because she's a little kid imitating what everybody's been saying.
Yeah, it's so adorable.
Yeah.
And Fiore, the flashback stops, and he's like, oh.
It's like, freeze frame. Hey, my name is Finoli, and I bet you my life is kind of crazy.
That's a flashback to Applauders for that flashback reference. Should go watch our Army of Darkness, or go listen to our Army of Darkness episode.
Yeah, but he really does freeze frame, and he's like, that flower from you, it was actually a gift from Serenity, or whatever he actually calls her.
Yeah, so Fiore realizes that the flower that was given to him by Darian was a flower given to Darian by Serena.
Because the love we take is equal to the love we make.
And then love conquers all.
The love you give is the rose you shiv.
And the Cassidian is like goes like full dusted. Because
he poofs again.
Well, no, he doesn't.
I'm sorry.
Well, like Cassidian, like you see what you see with it visually is
power intensifies.
Yeah, power intensifies and
ribbon outfit blows away all of her clothes. But, she is naked.
But Cassidian like dissolves away this like corsage of a villain just dissolves away from him.
The big end boss fight is her going,
Yeah. And Fiore teleports away. He just like goes all glowy.
Is it teleports away? Because I thought he just dissipated. Because he kind of floats backwards and then he does this beam me up Scotty move.
Well, considering what happens at the very, very end of the movie, I'm going with teleport.
Okay. I'll take it. I'll allow it.
Thank you.
It's stupid though.
And now.
But as that happens, she lifts her hands away from her chest and there's a flower where his hand was on her.
Right. Because the crystal that gives her all of her power is transformed from a crystal.
Her moon crystal just happens to be a flower.
Well, it transforms into a flower. And that's something that happens throughout the series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Because like it's all about transformation and powers up. This is a shoujo. This comes from like you have shoujin, which is like boys powering up and everything. And then you have like shoujo magic girl. And shoujo is like the female equivalent of that, where you have women who are just like constantly powering up. And the magic girl, I think, is the most popular subgenre of that genre.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So now they're going to potentially crash into Earth, but not if Sailor Moon has anything
because
to do with
it. Because she has a fancy white dress on.
Yeah.
I always liked her in this outfit. Mm. It's my favorite. It's her being her most adult her.
Right, because this is Princess Serenity. This is how she is in like the Moon Kingdom. So at the very beginning, when you realize that in the very beginning of the show, when you see that she's the princess, this is her normal outfit. But later on in season 2, you do see her as her future Queen Serenity self, and she has like butterfly wings.
But they show them as feathered wings in this show.
Feathered wings?
Yeah, like angel wings. Just in one of the transformations, she has wings.
Oh, yeah.
They do feather wings and butterfly
wings? Yeah. At the very end, when she's like at her super form, they are more feather-like. But then in the future Queen Serenity outfit, they're more gossamer. So they look more like butterfly wings.
I like that. And there's your haute couture wings and your everyday wings.
And so she's trying to hold the crystal. She's trying to like make this power, you know, kind of dissolve the rock. You see like bits of it flying away.
Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll kill you if you use the full power. And Tuxedo Mask goes, my love.
Yeah.
Which I love, by the way. Feel free to use that, Jen, anytime you'd like.
The dramatic my love.
My love. I'll just be like, give me another Hot Pocket. And you'll be like, my love. No. But she turns. Okay, so in the American one, she turns around and she says, why would I even have the Moonstone if I wasn't going to.
If I'm not going to use it.
And then she turns back around and she's like, she turns a little bit again and she goes, it'll all be okay. Right. And in the other one, she doesn't say that at all. She says, I've been given this power to something, something. It's very dramatic. It's much more dramatic delivery. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't say the everything will be all right. Trust me line.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so her friends and her boyfriend have no other choice but to come and help her. And so they all all of her friends group behind her and grab hands. And there's a line of them. But Tuxedo Mask, he goes ahead and has a transformation.
He gets into his knight outfit.
Yeah.
What is it about a dark blue shirt, a belt, and a sword that just makes me feel all squirrely?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I like men who play with phallic objects.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah. I hadn't got there with this. Yeah.
So he, and then he comes behind her and he's helping her, helping her brace the crystal. It's adorable.
It's really good, but we should also have a one last flashback.
Mm-hmm. And all of the scouts have flashbacks to a moment where not just them meeting Serena, but also like something that made them realize that they were a friend. Mercury has this moment where Serena's just like, I'm doing the English ones.
Yeah.
So
I'll do the Japanese
ones. Okay. So for Mercury, she goes ahead and says, they're at a beach. It's the beach episode. And she grabs the book, a book from Amy's hands and says, you know, you really, it's unhealthy to study as much as you do. And then Amy says, oh, well, then you must be in perfect health. And they're like, ha, 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 ha.
That's actually the next one.
That's the next one?
Yeah. The first one. In the American one, she goes,
yeah,
you need to play.
Yeah, you need to play more. It's like, oh, I've never tried that.
Right. And in the English one.
In the Japanese one?
In the Japanese one, sorry. She's like, when it's time to play, you should play. And she's all like, I guess you're right.
And then the second one is Serena and Ray, Sailor Mercury, Sailor Mars.
Yeah.
Serena says, you know, working too hard can be bad for you. And Ray says, well, then you must be in perfect health.
Yeah. And I don't remember what they do in the Japanese one for that.
Yeah, it's probably.
But it's not that joke.
Yeah.
It's something more akin, you shouldn't have to work all the time.
Right. And then it gets to Sailor Jupiter. And she's like, what is it? Serena goes over to her and says, oh, that looks so delicious. Can I have a bite?
And aren't you scared of me?
And then Jupiter says, aren't you scared of me? And she's like, why would I be scared of you?
Right. And
then you see Jupiter tear up a little bit.
Yes. In the Japanese one, she goes, it's the exact same dialogue, except she goes, what? Why? Instead of why would you? Because apparently we would have the context of why would, why would I be scared of you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyways.
So it wouldn't be restated.
Yeah.
And then
the last one
is literally is Sailor Moon and Sailor Venus in their full scout in their full outfits. And Sailor Moon's geeking out because it's Sailor V, and she's like, oh, I've always wanted to meet you. And Sailor V's just like, oh, welcome. And she flips her hair.
Yes. And in the Japanese one, she goes, I can't believe I'm meeting my idol. And she goes, ta-da.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
What's great about Sailor Venus is that she gets these English phrases wrong all the time. So instead of the phrase all's well that ends well, she'll say something like all's wet that ends in a well or something like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to start using that.
Yeah.
Consider that yoinked.
And
so that makes the power stronger.
Yeah. And everybody says their signature phrases like Mercury star power or Mercury makeup.
Yeah. And here are where my notes go. How do they breathe in space?
Well, there's all that air. You don't see the air that's flowing by them. Obviously, there's an atmosphere.
They've been in space for like 2 hours.
They still have the atmosphere from the plants. It's surrounding it. Maybe there's a force field.
Okay. Or maybe they're space princesses and they can just breathe in space without needing to breathe. Maybe they don't breathe. That's why every time Serenity falls to the ground and isn't breathing, I'm like, oh no. But she doesn't need to breathe.
Yeah.
They only breathe for all that screaming they do. Okay. So, hey, you know what we need?
We need
Federale to show up.
Federale?
Federale.
Oh, yeah.
No. Farfignookin.
So
Guy Ferrari.
Hey, this place is fantastic. You get that sauce. Whatever you say.
Yeah. Sailor Moon is successful, but in the process of being successful, she her crystal cracks and she is dead.
Yeah, she's like a crystal gem in that way.
Mm-hmm.
When her breaks, then
it briefly cuts down to the planet where Rini and or Chibiusa mm-hmm. and the cats are just like wondering how they're doing. That happens often throughout the show. This is essentially just like a really long episode or a really short season, however you choose to see it.
Yeah.
And so but then it goes back up to the front. Or
yeah. They say on the roof of the plant house, they're just like, I hope they're doing OK. And Hippity Hop Bunny Head, she goes. I think in the Japanese one, she goes, she's going to save everyone.
Yeah.
Right, so now we're back on the rock that is now orbiting our planet.
Yes. And so everybody's freaking out because she's dead and there's no bringing her back to life. And that's when Fiore shows up with a Deus Ex Machina for getting Sailor Moon back.
So he goes, I finally found it or something like that.
The perfect flower, which doesn't actually exist, Fiore, because all flowers are perfect.
Exactly. Starting with you, Lydia.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
He goes, this is the flower. And then he kind of transforms back into his little kid self. And he goes, it holds all of my life force. Give it to her. And then she will live. And then presumably, he holds the flower up to Tuxedo Mask's lips. And he drinks the nectar. Well, he slurps up the nectar. And then we assume that dude is dead. Because how do you give away all of your life force?
That must have been in the Japanese version, because I don't think that was in the English version. It was just like, this is like my last gift to you or something.
Okay, so yes, I guess it was the Japanese one. He goes, this is the all of my life force.
Right, but he gives it to Darien because he knows that Serena is so important to him and that, you know, sometimes when you fuck up with your friends, you just have to make sure that you just step away from them. Until they're ready for you to engage with them.
Jenny, if saving me from death requires you to spit in my mouth, let me die.
Mm-mm.
I mean, okay. Come up with a better story than I had to spit in your mouth.
CPR?
What?
CPR?
Yeah, say I perform CPR.
It was all of the CPR except for actually breathing or chest pumping.
Just the mouth to mouth? Jen, I know you haven't been certified in a long time, but the mouth to mouth is less important than the chest compressions now.
I thought you were saying all it takes is saliva.
I love kissing you. I don't want to think about it in terms of like, it very much makes me think of what was it, the movie where they're just like, and you just kind of squish your mouth holes together? Like your food holes. You just like rub them around on each other. And if you think about it in that context, it's very unpleasant. Anyways, the kiss of life.
Yeah. Nectar kiss revives us all. I will not be taking questions.
Okay. Okay. In the American ones, she turns and she goes, I told you everything would be all right. Now will you believe me when I say it? And they're like,
oh. You just died in front of us. We're kind of traumatized.
My notes are like, you just killed a guy. A guy is dead because of you.
Okay, but he was willing. He willingly gave the last of his life for us.
Okay, so it was a vegan killing?
I think it was. I would say it. I mean, technically, it would have been a suicide because he willingly gave it over to him. Would he have needed to do that if Sailor Moon didn't like, you know, do herself in? But that's kind of been her whole character. Is like, I don't want other people to get hurt. I want to do this on my own because I don't want other people to get hurt. And it wasn't until Fiore came to the conclusion that sometimes you have to be okay with letting yourself get hurt in order to help other people. And honestly, like, I know that he says it's her life force, but have you ever tried to drink nectar out of a flower? You don't get all the nectar. He's probably still floating out in space.
Does he come back later?
No. He's like Spinel. He just goes and stays with the diamonds because they think that he's funny.
I would.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to keep me as a pet, I would welcome that kind of overlord. You're going to feed me and water me and like clean up my shit and like pet me.
Yeah.
And I just sleep around. I wouldn't sleep around. I'd probably get fixed, but that sounds like the life. Put a little hat on me.
All I have to do is just scrape at the door and then you're like, yeah, you can go out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Deal.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would have to know, like, if Leota was like, Lydia, I want to keep you as a pet, I would be like, yes, because all of her pets are spoiled.
I watched her feed a freaking, what kind of steak did she have? She had like a porterhouse steak or something.
She feed that to the dogs. My goodness, dribbly poops. I'm not cleaning them up.
Yeah, right?
I'm not cleaning up poos from those dogs anymore because she, like, I do not feed them. Like, I'm like, if I do, and Leota, I know you're not listening to this, but if I do, it's like maybe a bit of a chip. And then that's it.
I give him a piece of our homemade popcorn. Not even microwave popcorn. I wouldn't feed him microwave popcorn, but I'll feed him our homemade regular butter salt popcorn.
Yeah.
But like one or two pieces. And that one time months ago when you saw me feed half of a wonton to a dog.
Right. But you didn't know that we weren't trying to feed Cricket. And here's the thing. Leota is the one who sets the precedence. She's doing it right now. Leota, I love you. I would love to be one of your pets. I get
half a wonton every once in a while. and hey, like a quarter of a steak.
I am a human being. I still would have human food, okay?
Oh, a wonton and a porterhouse steak are human food, Lydia. That's the point of this whole ramble. That's the end of the movie.
That's the end of the movie. Oh.
There's nothing in the credits except for names.
Yeah.
And they're great names. Mm-hmm. But the only one I ever actually noticed was Terry's, so...
Yeah, Terry Hawks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the end of the movie. Do we have any other Sean facts?
Just one and a half. So I already mentioned before that the DVD didn't include makeup Sailor Guardians. That's a 15-minute recap of the series, and it was shown to Japanese theaters before the movie. And the gardens that were featured in the beginning of the movie are called the Jindai Botanical Gardens, and are in fact a real location within Tokyo. It's famous for being the first botanical garden in Tokyo and is home to over 4,500 species of plants.
Ooh.
That's crazy. And the fact that they used my favorite plants, my favorite flower, it pleases me. Even if it's like a dorky setup for a kiss that didn't happen.
The Cassinian blossom looks like it has a lot of like the petals look very similar to the petals on a lily.
Yeah, like a tiger lily.
Yeah, but
with the really pronounced stamens.
Yeah, and just the shape of the petals themselves. But I thought that lilies generally have like five petals and the Cassinian has like six.
Yeah, because it's an alien.
Yeah, it's one off.
Also, the leaves that come out of it aren't exactly the same. On a lily, you have on a peace lily or whatever, the leaves are on the stem and they come off in opposing angles, on different levels, each the way down, kind of like if you took all of the sides off of a piece of DNA, or if you took a spiral staircase and like you shook up all the steps so they weren't next to each other.
Yeah.
But these leaves come out of the ground much like a tulip or a daffodil.
Yeah.
And that's where the botany breaks down for me.
Should we get into shocks and applauds?
Yeah, since it's your pick, you get to pick how we do it.
Okay. How about we start with our shocked, and we'll do Naomi, Jen, myself, and then we'll do applauds, Naomi, Jen, myself.
Okay. Mine on this, my shocked is that... The difference between the Japanese version and the American version. I mentioned it earlier at the top, but that of course for you was 2 weeks ago. And for us, 47 years ago. I feel like the movie itself lost a little soul in that separating, in that management, in that remanipulation. There's things that I would think were hilarious if they stayed. The song that they sang during the last part where they're all like, "Oh, you saved me from not eating lunch alone," right? Like that moment, the song is just like, "I'm gonna get you and turn you into a beautiful corpse." And our kiss was like a red tattoo that led to the fate of the thing. And I'm like, that is so metal. I'm like, I want that so bad. And so I'm going to be downloading that song and if I had only seen the American version, I would have missed it completely. Like, and I think that that sanitization takes something out of me. And unless I had some kind of, and I do a little bit of like ground knowledge, you know, the whole subbed and dubbed fight thing, it's real. And I really, each different anime that I watch, I try to do both. Because like Black Butler has some really fantastic dubbed episodes with some really great voice work. But I prefer like, you know, Death Note with only subs, because it's a little bit darker and a little bit more alien to me. And so anyways, I'm just saying that loss of soul was my shocked moment. I was like, oh, yeah, no, that was really a thing.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
I had forgotten how much lore there is in this series. And I really only was exposed to, you know, maybe a few episodes out of maybe the first or and second season. So there was a lot to try to catch up on in just your discussion together. And I mean, that's not bad. It's not like the bad kind of shocked. I had forgotten how much.
It's the Star Wars universe of
shoujo magical
anime.
Yeah. And I really don't mind, this isn't my applaud, but I really don't mind the transformations that much. It's fun to watch most of the time.
It can take away from the storytelling, and you see it more in the show than you do in this movie. But
do they ever make fun of it in the show?
No, that would have been, I don't think, like, meta humor really didn't take off until the late 90s. And this was an early 90s production, even in Japan. I think if it was rebooted, like they rebooted it. But again, they did it more as like kind of like a one to one correlation with the manga, which I'm not a huge fan of. If you were going to see that American production, like an American reboot specifically of it, then you would have that meta, like people would be talking about that. But I think that would take away from a level of sincerity. So,
Lydia, what's your shocked moment?
Oh, this is going to be my shocked moment and my applaud moment for the entirety of Sailor Moon, because I don't see us like doing any of the other movies, which is fine. That's fine.
We might. You don't know.
Okay. But I'm just going to say it for my overall for the entirety of the show. And it's the English producers not trusting teenage girls to have emotional intelligence. So like there's a lot of I've said this throughout the entire podcast. Part of the reason why we're here for so long is because there seems to be a level of distrust. Like we have to point out things that are happening. Oh, flower petals are falling down. Oh, it would smell so good. Oh, and like, oh, this is so annoying. You're knocked out and the Sailor Scouts have to help you. You know, those sort of things. I say English because it was originally from Canada, but it's just kind of interesting that like that was their default. Like that's what these producers were. And if you ever want to go ahead and look into that Americanized Sailor Moon, there was a theme song that was done and it was completely different from the one that we have right now for the English. It was a completely different makeup. They were going to do different animation. They were going to have, it was going to have like, it was like Sailor Moon meets Captain Planet. It was weird. Though I do like the level of inclusivity that they were planning on doing for the show, considering there's a lot of anime fans who default to like heroes being white because of the color of the character's skin.
I'm sure they don't do it, but all of the anime characters look white to me nearly all the time.
But they're Japanese because it's done in Japan.
I know. And it's an ignorant spot for me. I just they all look so Caucasian. Like, she's blonde haired and blue eyed and speaks perfect English. So
not in the Japanese version.
No, not in the Japanese version.
Okay. So Naomi, what's your applaud moment?
I love women supporting women and men supporting women and women supporting men and one of the hardest verses of the Bible, and I'm not trying to make this religious, but one of the hardest to truly, like, spiritually, truly understand loving your enemy is finding someone who is diametrically opposed from you, who wishes to do you harm and choosing to do the thing that you would do for the person you love most in the world. So that's what truly loving your enemy is, you know? And so when she's like, it can be different. You can be with us. We can be stronger together. We can make the whole universe a better place. I'm like, yeah, that's what it truly means to love unconditionally and to try to bring that forth in other people. And you do that, you practice with your friends, and then you bring that same energy to everyone you meet, including the people who make you mad. Because there's another Bible verse, I'm still not trying to make this religious, it's just my own spiritual journey, is that everybody loves their friends. That doesn't make you special. The thing that makes you special is how you treat and love the people that you don't like.
It definitely says a lot about you when you are willing to be like, I think that person's a fool, but I'm still going to treat them like a person.
More than a person even. Like, mm-hmm. I used to rail about to the kids about, okay, you know bad, you know good, and you know better. You are responsible for better. That's the standard I'm holding you to. Are you going to hit the mark every time? No.
Right.
But it's how we should want to treat other people. You know, and we should do it to the best of our ability and think of the group as the whole when you do that. It's probably why I'm very liberal. I spend a lot of money loving on people I don't know because I'd want them to do that for me.
Can I get on to a bit of a fascist soapbox?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I think I just did. So like, go.
No.
I didn't do a fascist.
You did a religious.
Like a socialism.
You're right. For me, like the idea of like what is so inherently wrong about fascists is like, one, they believe that if you are against them, you deserve death. You should just be obliterated. There should just not be you.
I think the word they're using is eliminated right now.
Eliminated. Yes. And part of what is so damaging about that is because you are not seeing the humanity of the person that you ultimately want to be rid of. So when I hear people talking about like this group is hurting children and that's justification for having that entire group be obliterated, there's still a part of me in the back of my mind that's like, but couldn't you use that kind of ideology or couldn't you use that kind of justification to do away with anybody? X group is hurting children, so that group has to just go away. That's the whole like, won't someone please think of the children mm-hmm. idea comes from. Part of the reason why they're saying that is because it's easier to vilify people who make you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then that makes it easier to just get rid of them so you don't have to face that uncomfortability.
Isn't it always interesting that it seems to be people who are doing something that you already don't do? So like, I'm against abortion. I've never had one.
You're right.
That's not me.
Yeah.
That is an example. Swish, swish.
Okay.
Okay. But like, people get on that soapbox and these same people might not necessarily, and I'm sure there's an exception to every rule, but these are the same people who might not be putting money towards the services that take care of children. Or make the situation so that a person with a uterus does not get pregnant or can avoid it. Or, okay, so we're not going to make it so you don't get pregnant. We're not going to make it so you can't have a baby. And when that baby shows up, we're going to not make sure that it has food and care that has statistically proven to get a child to a healthy adulthood where they can maintain themselves.
It's almost like pro-lifers don't really care about life all too much, but they do care about parental accountability. But it's still in a very individualized manner. And the one thing that any parent will tell you is raising children requires a community. You cannot, if you try and raise a child on your own, you will be struggling more. I mean, not unless you have vast amounts of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be.
And then you're still creating an artificial community.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it today and I realized, well, not today. I've been thinking about it this week and I was thinking about how I think I've decided to never own a gun. I might get a BB gun that looks like a gun so that it hurts and get somebody out of my house. And maybe it'll even be loud, but it's not going to be an actual lethal gun. And I was thinking about it. I talked about it with Lucas actually a little bit. And I was like, not this part to Lucas, but I was like, I cannot in this moment in my life, unless someone was physically trying to kill me, imagine killing them. And to that effect, like, would I even in a moment where somebody was trying to kill me, not that I have any like self-ending thoughts, but do I hold my ethics of do not kill another human, right? because I don't want to be killed. I do not kill you. Like, if I hold that ethical point true to my heart, do I hold it to my actual death? And I'm like, oh no. So I've been chewing on it, but I'm leaning pretty close to killing is never an option. And it's a big emotional shift for me. And watching this, I feel pretty good about it. Like, the plant died, but it was an objectively evil plant.
Correct.
The only person who died was a guy who chose to.
Yeah.
Which I do still think kind of sucks.
Yeah. Jen, what's your applaud moment?
I think Naomi kind of stole mine with the community and the sisterhood.
Yeah, put it on you, though.
Put it on me?
Yeah, put it your way. Because you'll bring a facet to it that's really good.
Well, I did want to bring that up with, I mean, just the context of the friendships that they do have it's a very strong bond. And I think that ultimately that does set a better example than many young women and girls have had in media. Usually they're the victim or someone who needs to be rescued. And these women, these young women are empowered to act and to make their own decisions, whether or not we think it was right in the moment for whatever they're doing. They are still getting to make that decision. Ultimately, it's the writer who's making that decision, but it's still great to see that autonomy, I guess, in those characters. We had discussed during Transformers how, like, there was opportunity for there to be development for bringing in a young girl audience into that medium, into that show, and they didn't take those opportunities. And this is one of the very rare opportunities when somebody did take that. And it says something about our culture that we had to import that in order to make that happen.
We didn't get anything close to that till, like, Steven Universe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, I think that's it. It's the character development, the community, and the autonomy, I think, is pretty great about the show. And from what I've heard on this movie,
I like compassion as a superpower, just in general.
Yes,
like you see it more with Steven Universe, but I know that Superman was kind of like they didn't like go into making Superman with a compassionate element, but that did just sort of happen. Like, he was the most powerful being and he has to be the most compassionate. So, like, I just like the you have to bring in things like compassion and love and grace and mercy. It can't just all be shoot 'em ups, because we did that in the 80s. And now what do we have to show for it? We have, you know, people who think that gun regulation is wrong and mass shootings happening on.
That's just a fact of life, is the opinion, it seems. And it's like,
yeah, no, people are not inherently violent, which is, like, I mean, talking about religion, that kind of comes back from the idea that, you know, all humans are flawed. But even still, like, even though humans are flawed and you need all these rules and regulations, we're not actually going to put the rules and regulations. It's almost like their beliefs don't really matter. It's more like just whatever they can get away with. Sorry. Soapbox, I'm off.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. But I like the fact that in a time when compassion as a superpower was not always seen as being, like, powerful in Sailor Moon, just as an overarching theme, you see it. One of the most effective pieces or one of the most effective scenes in Sailor Moon comes at the very end of the third season. And it's Sailor Saturn is essentially sacrificing herself and to defeat this big bad. And she would have come back, or no, she just was going to get killed. But when Sailor Moon goes in after her, because she's like, this person is important to me, she ultimately is the reason why Sailor Saturn gets, like, reincarnated. So it's like, not just with that large amount of power, but also with the help of your friends, you can kind of find yourself again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think that's everything.
Yeah.
Applauders, you're looking real good. We got a new applauder.
We got a new Patreon applauder.
We got a new Patreon.
You're all applauders, but, like, the Patreon applauders, they're really throwing down.
Yeah. So shout out to our newest applauder and future Quips lover, Heather. She likes lengthy movie analysis and playing straight women whose husbands die under suspicious circumstances.
Playing them, yes.
Playing them. She doesn't actually do that. Though, Heather, if you wanted to find a new career calling, I mean, I think you could get away with it.
Get away with murder.
Murder.
Plotters, can you believe that it's the end of April? Are you ready for all of that sunshine?
May's right around the corner.
You better get those shorts out of storage. It's time to, I mean, if you're into it, shave them leggies. Well, applauders, you've joined us on this journey. Please check us out on our socials. If you want to yell, if you want to shock or applaud at us, totally track us at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com. We'd love to get an email from you. If it's something we can share, we totally will share it. Drop us a review. I know Jen says this all at the end, but like, if you're a regular listener and you haven't reviewed us, please do. If this is your first time and you just want to put something out, do it. Be nice. You don't have to be nice. We love honesty, but you know, we need the feedback so that we can give you a better show.
We can't correct bad behavior if we don't know the bad behavior is happening.
There are no knowns. There are known unknowns. There are things we don't know that we don't know. Help us.
Email would be a great way to contact us too if you would like to spread the love of Shocked and Applaud to others, because we can send you some stickers.
Oh, yes. We have some stickers with some guys. Can't wait.
I think that's about, that's all I have.
Oh, you know what? For once, I'm going to do a shout out. Hey, Sean, our Sean Facts guy, he has a website, evilkittestudios.com. And it is Kitte, K-I-T-T-E-H. He's got some art out there. You should take some look at it. He does not only Sean Facts, but he does our unique artwork every week. And it's simply the best thing.
It is. Thank you, applauders, for joining us on this month's podcast. I'm Lydia Malcolm.
I'm Jen McQuaid.
And I'm Naomi McQuaid.
And this has been Shocked and Applaud. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you again, applauder, for joining us for the final part of our month-long discussion of 1993's Sailor Moon R, the movie The Promise of the Rose. We hope you've enjoyed our Sean Facts plot walkthrough, along with our shocked and applaudable moments. Looking for more film discussion that's out of this world? For Screen and Country has a new episode discussing the rise of the Manchester punk scene in 24-Hour Party People. And the Film Spark Pod discusses watching Monster Squad for the first time. Check out links to these episodes in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and that one girl who's still got lots of transforming to do, Jen. Do you find yourself yelling at your phone, then alternating to quiet whispers and deep thoughts whenever we get something wrong or forget to include something in our plot walkthrough? You might be the perfect person to leave us some feedback. Email us at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com or directly on our site at shockedandapplaud.com to reach out and leave us a note. We'll be back after a short break with another review. It's Sean's pick next month, and it's definitely one you'd think we would have discussed by now. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
Yay!
Yay!
Do-do-do-do. Yeah. Sailor Moon.
She has a one. Sailor Moon.
Reviewing podcast by daylight. Reviewing podcast till midnight. We're never not recording podcasts. This is the one named Shocked and Applaud.